This is Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. Welcome to Hellas Intrigue. We're Potsy. We will talk about the Bears' big Monday night football game in Minneapolis, about what to expect from Justin Fields and whether he should be doing more. All that and more coming up on Hellas Intrigue. Potsy, the Bears have a Monday night game coming up. I think we will learn a lot about them given the way they bounce back or don't from a loss that by their standards is fairly run-of-the-mill, but by a lot of standards was pretty crushing, giving up as many points as they did in the final 4 minutes to lose to the Lions.
Yeah, Pat, you know, the Bears from Luke Getsy and even Matt Eberflus always talk about the 17-game process of the season and never trying to put too much on one game. I think this is one time you can put a lot on this game. I think this is close to a defining game that determines where this team is headed for so many factors. A, they're coming off of that game against Detroit where they played really well for 3.5 quarters and more, and just collapsed in the final four minutes. And they're as strong as they've ever been, including they're as healthy as they've ever been, and with Sweat and Ngakoue now being here a little bit. They're as strong as they've ever been. They're playing a division opponent on the road, and Justin Fields in his second game back. Tremaine Edmonds will be in his second game back. Expect both to be better.
Khalil Herbert, too.
Another one. So I think even as much as they loathe the outside world putting everything on one game as defining, I think this will say this and the game against the Lions, the rematch against the Lions in 2 weeks. I think that will tell us a lot of where the direction of this team. I think will allow a lot of people to make decisions. Anybody who's on the fence about this coaching staff, I think you're going to get your answer in the next 2 weeks.
I was going to say, what could this say about Matt Eberflus one way or the other?
Well, it says everything. It says, yeah. Because the thing is, he always points to progress, the progress they're making, but yeah. We're not seeing the same thing. We're looking at it at different lenses. And so he needs wins and or at least really, really good performances to kind of justify that thinking and to verify that and confirm it, that they're making the progress. We've already, you know, here's the thing. I think that game, the Packers game against the Lions yesterday on Thursday, really put the Bears game into a different perspective.
Absolutely.
For me.
Yeah.
And from the quarterback on down. So I think there are some good comparisons you can make about where everybody in the division is heading compared to the Bears.
Right.
And for a team that, you know, like everybody, you know, like Ryan Pohl says, wants to take the North, you got to start by winning a division game.
Does it make the Bears' loss look much worse? I thought it did.
I
thought that having Jordan Love step in and look like Brett Favre made Justin Fields' progress seem a little less impressive. I thought the way that the Packers were able to hang on in a way that the Bears couldn't made the Bears' defense look even worse. It was...
Almost the same exact score. A very similar situation. A couple things I can't say I'm... examined it totally, but I just from watching it and from just having a cursory look, they scored touchdowns. I guess the biggest thing they did was their defense did give up a touchdown late, but it took a lot longer time and it didn't really put them in the same situation as the Bears found themselves in. So they just handled it better. And offensively, I mean, they had, I think, two punts in their last two possessions. So it wasn't like they totally put the hammer down, just like the Bears were unable to. So that it wasn't as stark as you might think, but still, it said a lot about Matt LaFleur and the way and Jordan Love and just the Packers system. Packers, what they're doing.
And you said the scores were similar, but it's weird. Both, I think, are deceiving. You know, the Lions had to score and get the 2-point conversion with, 40 seconds left or something like that to get it down to 7. And the Bears, the Bears gave up a touchdown, a 2-point conversion, and a safety in the final, 30 seconds technically of their game to make that seem like a little bit more of a blowout than it was in this one.
Right.
I thought looked closer than it did. Did you learn anything else out of the Thanksgiving games as long as we're on the topic?
I'm just trying to think. Boy, the Cowboys are really good against not so good teams.
All year. Yeah, that's all they do is beat up on bad teams.
That was almost the worst thing that could happen. It was sort of blow it up because it just made it so stark how good they are against bad teams.
Right.
Or mediocre teams. And how they, you can see them in the playoffs. Anyone who predicts them to crap out, it's hard to disagree with that, with their record.
Well, and you and I have talked about this. The league is mostly bad teams at this point, right? Aren't there
seven or eight
teams you could actually kind of set your watch to?
And the quarterbacking, I think, is down. I've kind of wrote about this earlier this week, and that the idea of the quarterback lifting a team on his shoulder, that's not as big a factor this year. There's I don't know what it is, but it'll be interesting to see how the playoffs. It could turn out. It could be one of those things where it's like in the NCAA tournament where all the lower seeded teams, win early, but you still end up with a final four of all number ones, because the cream rises to the top. It'll be interesting to see if all this mediocre quarterbacking and all these good quarterbacks like Joe Burrow and Mahomes not being nearly as proficient as he is, if in the end it ends up being Mahomes and Hurts and Josh Allen, what have you. In the end, it could still end up that way. But anyway, to your point, there's a lot of mediocrity. It's the league is just a lot in the middle there.
You described the NCAA tournament, which is the very NCAA tournament that CBS loves, which is the upsets early. But the blue bloods late,
and
I think that makes the best
one. The last Final Four, I think, was a real. It was like Big Cinderella, but a real kind of a dud. I mean, that was the one time where the women's tournament was legitimately more compelling than the men's tournament, and not just for people promoting it, because it really was.
How dare you besmirch San Diego State University, Potsy? You talk about quarterbacks maybe not being the center of the universe. With Justin Fields, I thought Fields played well last week, and I think that if Fields plays that very same game, they win in Minnesota, probably. What did you like about his performance? And I know we were talking today, you think that there were some cases when they probably should have leaned on him a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to become a bigger part of it. I mean, you look at the efficiency, he's 105. This is, I'm a big numbers guy, and you look at 105.2 as his passer rating, which is really good and looks impressive on paper, but he threw 169 passing yards.
Yep.
The rushing. Now I know the argument is with his rushing, it's still almost 300 yards, but I don't know. I just feel like I think that the last drive that they had was a good example, illustration, I think, of why he just needs to be a bigger threat as a passer. I mean, they did everything they wanted to do on that drive.
Right.
They took up a lot of time.
Yep.
Not the last drive, but the second to last drive, I guess, or third, actually, technically. But anyway, they took up a chunk of time. They ran the ball. But in the end, they settled for a field goal because they leaned too much on the run. And they leaned too much. They don't lean on Fields as a passer. They use him as a runner more than a passer in those moments. And he's got to graduate. He's got to take a step up as a passer and be, frankly, like Jordan Love was yesterday against the Lions, or Thursday against the Lions, to take that next step. But big picture-wise, I think he's still in play, I think, as a future, as the quarterback of the future for the Bears based on what we've seen. But he's got a big step to take, and I think that's a good example. This game, when you have 105 passer rating, good efficiency, no interceptions, but you only throw for 169, I think teams that expect to win the Super Bowl got to get more out of their quarterback.
Well, and also, it wasn't Fields' fault, but he again has the ball in his hands in a got-to-have-it situation at the very end. I realize that marching them down for a field goal would have been a pretty remarkable accomplishment, but it also would have been the first time he's done that. And, we keep waiting, and I feel like last year, half of last season was spent talking about this. Okay, Justin's got the ball in the fourth quarter. He's got to go win the game for you.
Right.
And he hasn't been able to. For me, the blame is almost entirely on the defense for that loss.
Right.
But, boy, it would have been nice to see a little life there at the end.
Absolutely. There were two plays we were talking about today, we've been talking about since the game, in which there was a third and seven late in that one drive where he handed the ball off to Roshon Johnson. And I think, I don't know if he had the option or not, but he's either going to pass that ball or run on that.
Yeah.
They're not going to get a first down on third and seven, and they just settled for a field goal. and that ended up costing him. Like you said, it was a defensive implosion that lost that game. But still, that's the kind of play you need Fields to make. And then there was, I think, the 2nd and 10, the play that preceded the deep ball to Tyler Scott, where that was, I think, an RPO.
Yeah.
And he handed it off when he got it. He has to realize he's not just like any other RPO quarterback. You know, even better than Mitch,
right?
You know, who could run, right. But no, he can beat most guys. So there's a situation where the book tells you to hand it off. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields has to take it. I thought that was a real good example of mm-hmm. a misplay on the quarterback's part that really isn't his fault,
right,
or the fault of the offense. They're just mm-hmm. not in that mm-hmm. kind of groove where they're trying to maximize the talent they have in Fields.
Do you play blackjack?
I have in the past. I have not. I don't recently, but yeah, I certainly have.
When you mentioned the book, my mind always goes to blackjack. Were you ever the kind of guy who, if you're sitting 16 against a face, would hit it just because you have a feeling, or were you afraid that you'd get chased off table by?
I play basic strategy pretty much.
But this is
by the book. But I'm not Justin Fields of blackjack players either.
Right, and you know, it did seem like somebody was waiting for Fields there if he were to take it. And you know, maybe if you're all of a sudden at 3rd and 14 because he gets stuffed, maybe we're complaining about that. But I'd rather the ball be in the hands of the best athlete on the field.
That's there it is. That's the point right there. At least you're losing with the ball in your best player's hands. And right. I disagree. I think you're still mad at Luke Getsy for not having a good enough offense.
Right.
But you're not blaming. But it's worse when you hand the ball off. In either of those situations,
right,
the 3rd and 7, the 2nd and 10. I think the theme of what we're all talking about is that Justin Fields has to be a bigger part of this offense in those situations for him to be Justin Fields, if that's the player they expect him to be.
Why is it that Josh Dobbs seems to work out just fine in Minnesota, and the Bears have spent 100 years trying to find a quarterback who can put together three good games in a row?
I mean, that goes back to the age-old question I've been asking. I think I've written that 3 or 4 times. It's almost embarrassing. Why is developing a quarterback like pulling teeth with the Bears?
And, right.
I think the question most recently was, what are the Houston Texans doing with C.J. Stroud that the Bears are not doing with Justin Fields? Why are these quarterbacks? And sometimes they fade out. I mean,
right.
I remember once I asked the same question of Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
You know, when he was with Jacksonville, I think. You know, mm-hmm. how can this guy come off the bench
right.
and replace, I think it was Nick Foles at
yep.
the time, and all of a sudden put up 100-point-something passer ratings and win games? And the Bears with I guess it must have been Trubisky at the time, you know, it's always like pulling teeth. That's a question I don't think will not ever be answered, but certainly hasn't been answered now because the Bears are still in the developmental phase with Fields. And I can't wait till we get to the point, and I think at the end of this year, we can say, okay, either it happens or it doesn't. And now you can come back and say, hey, why is this not happening? And I think that'll actually be a big decision. I think we're not the only ones who are going to be kind of asking that question, making that decision. People with actual authority over people's jobs are going to be looking at the same thing.
I think that if it's not apparent, then it means it didn't happen. I think it's like a Hall of Famer. I think you'll know it if you see it, and if you don't see it, you can't talk yourself into it, to him being the
right.
Guy.
And it's questionable whether they're heading in that direction. Now, I'm not saying they're not. They, like I said, they are as strong as they've been in the Eberflus Poles era. As far as roster-wise,
right.
And actually have the makings of a pretty good offensive line right now, even though they don't—I don't think they rate at all.
Right.
But they have some pieces in place there with Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright, and maybe even Braxton Jones, and Nate Davis. That you know, you plug in one other really good player,
right,
and all of a sudden, that's a really good offensive line. They're not that far away, so I think you can make that argument. But you can also make the argument that they're always short. They're always a little bit shy. And wide receiver position looks better, but they're still missing something there, right? The defense. Look at the pressure. That was probably the biggest impact I had from Thursday's games. Is look at the pressure that the Packers put on Jared Goff, versus what the Bears. The Bears wasn't bad. I think they had maybe even 8 quarterback pressures, and I'm not sure how accurate those stats are, but the Packers had 12, and that's only on paper.
Right.
In real time, it looked much
yeah,
different.
They were Sean in his face the whole game.
It was a bigger factor in that game Thursday than Montez Sweat was, even though he wasn't bad, than Montez Sweat was Sunday against the Lions. They just do other teams, I guess the original point, other teams just do things differently and more efficiently and more effectively than the Bears. And I think what we're getting to overall is week 17, week 18, it's time to bleeper get off the pot for the Bears, right? And make some decisions on where they are. And I think we'll find that. And that's why I said these two games are going to really tell us a lot. Three games, actually, because you got to consider Cleveland with that defense is going to be a real challenge for Fields.
Boy, Matt Eberflus needs to win a couple division games, too. If you're going to sit there at the end of the year and say that you compare well to your peers, you need to compare well to your peers in some categories. Potsy, we've got the Vikings coming up. Team Sun Times has submitted their six picks, and it may surprise you.
I think we're all over the board on this.
We are. I was going to say, it may surprise you.
Interesting.
No, it's 3-3. Three Vikings, three Bears. You are on Team Vikings. I believe the score is 24-23.
Yeah, what do you like? Zero confidence. I mean, it's hard for me to pick the Bears when they keep failing to come through in close games.
Yep.
But the Vikings, you know, as we saw with the Lions, you know, the Lions, they're kind of lining, I guess, the last couple games. And that defense does not look very good. And their offensive line doesn't look nearly as imposing as it has previously. So even they are no sure thing. The Vikings, you know, they've won 5 of 6. They just lost by a point to the Broncos. The Broncos are kind of picking up steam here. So there's no confidence. It's the NFL. I never underestimate the mediocrity of the NFL. It's the same old thing.
I've got the Bears 23-21. Chicago.
What's your reasoning, Pat?
I think they're playing well. I think their defense is playing as well as it's played all year. That doesn't mean that they're they're not the 1985 Bears, but they're. Yeah. I think that their defense is playing well. I think that they will be spooked enough by the way the last game ended that I don't think you have any concerns about them coming out flat. And I think if Fields is as good this week as he was last week, I think he scores enough points to win. My guess is that Justin Jefferson is not going to play on Monday. I think that they have the bye week the same week the Bears do, so I don't think they're going to be motivated to get him back right away. And I just wonder how much firepower is there against the league average defense, which I think the Bears have. I think Khalil Herbert needs to play better because they're going to lean on him, and he, to me, looked a half step slow in his return last week. I think Roschon Johnson will probably be leaned on a little more as well with Deontay Foreman banged up. That run game should be effective, but it would take a leap, I think, from two of the ball carriers there.
I think the biggest thing I'm going to be looking for is that defense, see how that defense responds, because I thought it was interesting how they played so well for so long, but boy, when the Lions kind of imposed their will and wanted to take it, the defense just totally turtled and just was and maybe it was the design because they're giving up a lot of short passes that really kind of fueled that thing and built momentum and it was just to me it was a lack of for lack of a better term, mental toughness. And so this game is all about mental toughness. Can they respond? You know, they're very good. I mean, individually, they're very good. They have good players. It's a pretty good roster on defense. And now the question is, can they, like you say, after that bad game, can they will themselves to a good performance? I think the beginning of that game is going to tell us a lot about how good, how mentally tough this defense is. If they can do what they say, in their minds, you know what they're motivated to do.
It'll be an interesting game, Potsy, and then the Bears have a bye week, and then they come back for the Lions at home, followed by a road game in Cleveland. So three pretty interesting games coming up for them.
Two against teams they've already played before. I think that's a big factor in the NFL, especially with a coaching staff that has a lot to prove.
Yep.
How much, especially in this game again, well, both games, Lions and Vikings, how well do they anticipate what the other team is going to do based on what happened the previous time. It's a great chess match, and let's face it, this coaching staff has a lot to prove. So I think that facet of it, that part of it, is going to go a long way to telling us just how good they are.
We'll be there to talk about it after the game. Until then, you can follow us on social media, check us out on the Sun-Times website, or if you live in Chicago, in print. Until then, he's Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.